Hey everyone, this is Scott Ferrioli from dvc-rental.com and buyandselldvc.com. There's a chill in the air coming this holiday season, and if you're thinking of coming to Disney, check out the deals section on our website. There are a bunch of great last-minute deals available. Or if you're thinking of possibly surprising your family for the holiday season, check out our resales page at buyandselldvc.com, where you can have a lifetime of Disney memories for your family at a discounted price.
Everyone, welcome to the Dubs Royal Court Review. I'm Jen Bachman, and I'm here with the lovely ladies of the Royal Court, Jenny Barriger, Cassandra Callahan, and Cindy Ellicott. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
Doing great.
Good.
I'm excellent. I was just thinking, isn't Jenny better known as Corey Feldman's squeeze now? Or?
Oh, yeah. My gosh. What a weekend.
I think actually, Jenny, you have to take a second and just tell us about this dream of yours that has recently come true.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So I'm going to date myself in this, but Goonies, right? Back in the 80s, that came out and he played Mouth in the movie. And whoo, he was a cutie patootie, let me tell you. And so then, and he's actually older than me. I didn't see it until it was on VHS, but, you know, so as you're growing up, then he's in like License to Drive, Dream a Little Dream, The Burbs. And, you know, that fire just kept burning. I admit he looks a little different now. He's a little odd and dabbling in some music that isn't really my cup of tea, but some friends were like, hey, he's coming to Baltimore. And a few years ago, he was in Baltimore and he was doing his band. And so my friends and I went, even though it wasn't like our kind of music, like Corey was there. And so I was like, I can't do that concert twice. And they were like, no, you can actually meet him this time. So there was like this movie convention, right? And so we go and stood in line for 3 hours. Because the doors opened an hour before he was supposed to be there. So that was hour one. Then he was 20 minutes late. Then he got pulled for like some photo ops. But anyway, finally 3 hours goes by and I'm there. I've made it to the front of the line. And I go to sit down and they put the chair right next to him. Like right next to him. I'm practically in the guy's lap. And I'm so nervous. I go to sit down and the first thing I do is kick him. And I was like, oh gosh, I'm so sorry. And he just kind of smiled, you know, and he's like signing his autograph. And I stopped breathing. And like he had his bodyguard with him. And his bodyguard's like, she okay? And one of my girlfriends was like, he's not breathing. He'll be fine. He puts his arm around me. Oh my gosh, the whole world stopped spinning at that moment. And he looks at me and he's like, God bless. That about sums it up. And so that was Friday. And then Saturday, we're, you know, at the hotel hanging out and it's late at night and everybody's just kind of outside, right? Mingling, drinking, you know, whatever. And my friend's fiance is like, might want to turn around. And whew, I mean, like not even 3 feet behind me. And the whole world stopped spinning again and I was freaking out and he's just mingling, being like a normal guy, talking to people. And he turns around and he looks at me and he smiles and I'm not breathing. And I went, I'm doing this like awkward wave. And I squeak out, hi, Corey. And he smiles and he's like, hey. And I just stood there. Nodding my head like we're having a conversation. And people were like, you know, he's waiting to talk. I was like, I got nothing. So he moved on. But yeah, it was the most awkward, amazing encounter of my entire life. Like, I'm set up, you know, I told my husband that that was my birthday present. Like, we don't need to do anything in a few weeks. Like, I'm
you
set
can't to top make- it.
Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah. Nothing's going to top that. No matter how awkward fangirl I was, nothing's going to top that.
I seem to have awkward character exchanges. So I understand the awkward component. But I was, as you were telling your story, I was trying to think like what I'd wait in line for 3 hours for. And it's not the Figment popcorn bucket, I'll tell you that. I'm not a 3 hour wait for the popcorn bucket. Well, I am glad that dream of yours came true.
It did. It did.
It was just a little excitement for all of us this week.
I know. Well, let's go ahead and jump in. We are getting close to Halloween. So while we have a regular news show for you guys, we wanted to start today by just talking about some spooky or creepy stories that have to do with Disney. So, Jenny, do you want to go ahead and kick us off with your creepy story that probably doesn't involve Corey Feldman?
Sure.
But maybe should.
But maybe should.
So, the Tower of Terror ride, when you're getting off the elevator, there's like some, you know, like little dusty, you know, things around. And in that pile is this doll, and his name is Caesar, and he's one of those, you know, like talking dummy dolls. Big fans of the Twilight Zone shows would recognize him from the episode Caesar and Me. I admit, I don't think I've seen that. But apparently in the episode, he kind of like takes control of his ventriloquist, the guy that's like making him, you know, talk, and compulses him to do like, you know, these spooky things and commit crimes. And so he has now found his way into the Tower of Terror and living in the basement of this hotel. And it's said that the cast members have to greet him in the morning and at the end of the evening. And if they don't say like hello and goodbye and address him by his name, Caesar, then things go haywire with the ride, and he causes mischief and destruction. And so it sounds a lot of people are kind of like fearing this doll. They think there's something behind it. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is interesting. I've seen the doll. It is creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But I've not seen it do anything. And I'm okay with that. Like, if
I am too.
Stays there forever, that's fine.
It sounds like he does it after hours. Like, he's salty that nobody, you know, said goodnight to him. And he's like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to break this ride. So.
Well, it's funny you say that about saying good morning and saying good night, because that kind of, what do you call, segue, Jen? Mm-hmm. Segues into mine, because it's very similar to George, who's the ghost of Pirates of the Caribbean at Magic Kingdom at Walt Disney World. So the story goes that George was a cast member who was working on Pirates at Magic Kingdom and Walt Disney World. One version of the story is that George was crushed by a falling beam while he was welding. And then another version says that he fell from the top of the attraction's burning city in one of the final big scenes. And unfortunately, George passed away. So the Disney legend says that his ghost still haunts the popular and iconic attraction. But where this kind of goes with what Jenny was saying, cast members have reported instances of seeing ghostly apparitions on the cameras that monitor the attraction. There have also been mysterious footsteps and phone calls in the control room when the room is empty. Cast members also say that every morning they need to say good morning, George, and each night they say good night, George. It is said that if George is not told good morning, the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction will have issues throughout the day with breakdowns and more. If George isn't wished a good night, the attraction has been known to come on overnight and certain parts be running the next morning. Oh. So I wonder, you know, like, it's kind of like when you play telephone, like how much, you know, is passed on, and, you know, I don't know. So,
Or, you know, maybe whoever came first, right? They believe in this so much that they're like,
right.
You know,
you better say good morning, right? And good evening to your haunts. You know,
exactly.
I mean, if I'm a cast member, I'm going to say good morning, good evening. Right. I'm going to cover my bases.
Yep.
I'm not coming home with any bad juju.
No, whatever it takes.
Right. Just in case.
Yeah.
I have a ghost story as well, but I think mine is a friendly ghost. So the ghost I want to tell you guys about is called Mr. One Way, and he is known to happily haunt Space Mountain attraction in Disneyland. So he has been described by people that have seen this ghost as a red-haired man. And he is known to chat people up on the line to Space Mountain. They have described him as nice, but odd in the sense that he didn't seem up to date with what was going on in Disneyland, like all the changes. Or some have described him wearing older style, like 70s style clothing. And he likes to join people that are single riders. He likes to be their ride buddy. And the stories I have read claim that they think they're just talking to a regular person and they go to get off the ride at the end and he is gone. And in one case, one person had said to the ride attendant, "Where did the guy that was with me go?" And she said, "Ma'am, no one was seated with you." So I don't know. But they call him Mr. One Way. And he is also known to show up in the locker room. And there, if you Google this or look on YouTube, there's a couple of videos that people claim surveillance has picked up his image. Now, I peeked at those. I didn't see or not see anything, but maybe you will. So that is the story of Mr. One Way. And I think I'd be okay if he wanted to ride Space Mountain with me. I don't think I'd be too creeped out. He seems like a nice fella.
Friendly ghosts are good. Yeah. I'm more along the lines of, I love to hear everybody's ghost stories, but I don't know that I want it happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, I love that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it can happen to Jen. That's okay. I want to, you know, she's about riding with Mr. One Way. I want to hear her story, but I don't want Mr. One Way riding with me.
You should, Chris could pretend to be Mr. One Way next time he's at Disneyland. He has red hair.
Yeah, I was going
As long
he's run away real quick and people think it's him.
Yeah.
As long as they're not one of those like possession ghosts, you know, like I don't want to become possessed and
yeah. Oh, none of that.
Right? Like no. You just want to hang out. Okay.
Yeah.
Just don't touch me.
Down to tell not to cuddle. Got it.
Well, my story is from the IFL Science website, and it's actually kind of a creepy story, not really a ghost story. It has to do with the fact that human remains were once part of the original Pirates of the Caribbean ride in Disneyland, California. So the story goes that fake alternatives available back when the ride was built in 1967 just weren't realistic. They weren't up to scratch, and Disney's Imagineers always want something to be authentic. They want it to look right and work right and sit right. And said that the limitations of fake skeletons at the time just drove the decision to use real ones, partially because of the cost, that this ride had cost as much as the rest of the park combined to build. So at that point, they were just like wanting to get it finished without a whole bunch more costs. But it said former Disney producer Jason Sorrell revealed in his book Pirates of the Caribbean: From the Magic Kingdom to the Movies that it was thought the faux skeletons of the period were just too unconvincing. So instead, bones were sourced from the University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA, and real human remains were used. And that was kind of it until people started noticing and complaining, and it got to be known, the people that worked there, they were creeped out by this. They didn't want to be working with real skeletons and stuff. And so they ended up taking all of the skeletons, returning them, finding out where they came from, which countries and where these individuals are from. And they were all returned to the country where they were born and interred there. And then fake skeletons were then made and used in the ride.
Wow.
Interesting.
Imagine like donating your body to someone.
I was just thinking, look, who wants to donate? Because like, you know, like, memorialize at Disneyland.
I'd be okay with that if that's where I ended
up. There are way worse outcomes than being on the Paris attraction.
Yeah, but they start by using skeletons on Pirates of the Caribbean, and then they get mad when somebody dumps somebody's ashes on the haunted house.
Haunted mansion, I know, right? Nobody dump your family member's ashes at Haunted Mansion because they will vacuum you up.
Yeah.
And don't drop them in like the water rides because then it gets all sludgy and the...
Well, and that water splashes up in your face.
Don't dump human remains at Disney World or Disneyland is the lesson here.
Or anywhere with no permission, really. That would be a good rule to follow. Okay, that was mine.
Well, I'm not sure how we segue into news, but that was those are your spooky stories. That was the more you know fact for the day. And so now let's keep that rolling with news.
With news. No natural progression here, people.
We're just going to go for it.
Yeah, yeah. We're just going to roll into it.
All right, Bada.
All right. So it's finally on the horizon. January 9th, the all-day park hopper is coming back. So if you have a ticket that includes park hopper benefits or an annual pass holder, you no longer will have to wait until 2 p.m. to switch parks. You'll be able to park hop all day during regular park hours. Disney does have a little disclaimer on their website that says, you know, subject to park capacity. But I think as we've all seen, that really hasn't been an issue for quite some time now. So for those of you, and I'm one of them, that love park hopping, This is exciting, and it also kind of helps get those four park one day challenges conquered a little easier too. So yay, January 9th.
I know a lot of people are excited about that one, and with the four park challenge, I know Jen, that could have helped you significantly, I'm sure, just recently. So we but also made it more of a challenge, right?
Yeah. Well,
made the challenge more challenging.
It did. And Hollywood Studios, when we did it, had the extended evening hours. Mm-hmm. So we slid in there like right as that was starting.
That was nice. Yeah. So I want to hop over to California, talk a little DVC, a little new resort. So the Villas at Disneyland Tower has officially opened September 28th. The Villas at Disneyland Tower welcomed guests. The Villas is the fourth and newest tower at Disney Vacation Club's 16th property. So I didn't realize that Disneyland Towers had four tower, or like this is now the fourth tower, because I'm really not fluent in Disneyland, obviously. So we're still trying to make it out there. So this new tower is 12 stories and encompasses 344 themed rooms. And then also a special tidbit that was shared through the Disney Parks blog is the new DVC tower is named Discovery and joins the other towers named Fantasy, Adventure, and Frontier. And I didn't know that. So I know that I've seen the rooms online. I have access to book them through my personal points. They're beautiful. The one thing that holds me back is with that resort, and I guess along with every other resort in California, I don't know, don't hold me to that, not Grand Californian, but you are charged a transient tax, much like Alani, so there's like an additional fee on top of that. So Cindy, when you stayed off property at Disneyland, were you also charged a transient tax, like an additional fee on top of?
Yes, we were. And that is part of the law in California that they can't include it in the fees.
Right.
It has to be shown separately so people know that they're paying
with
a tax.
With Anaheim, correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Disneyland Tower, even if it's DVC points, you are having to pay an additional fee So if you stay at Grand California through DVC points, you do not, because that's built into the member dues. So, but the rooms are beautiful. I would absolutely stay there. And so, yeah, that's exciting.
I think it'd be really nice to stay there. It's new and it's so close to the park and the theming and everything. I don't think at that point that I would be worrying about the transient fee of, I mean, you're already paying parking.
That's what we were talking about, my husband and I, because it's like, we're torn between Grand Cal and Disneyland Towers when we go. And I think in order to stay at Disneyland Towers, it'd be like an extra $700, but it's also a brand spanking new room, but where, so it's hard. It's hard. So, but the rooms are beautiful.
I would love to be there.
Yeah. So.
Nice. That was that. You had fun news. I get that like, wah, wah. But here we go. So we had on October 11th, Disney implemented several price increases at both Disneyland and Walt Disney World, and they were effective immediately. So no warning on these.
But they slipped it in, right? They slipped it in behind that park hopper.
Yeah,
they're like, hey, y'all, no park hopper, no 2 p.m. And they're like, and by the way, everything is increased. No warning.
And if you follow Disney closely, you may notice that typically October is when they do price increases because it's the start of their fiscal year. But there was one weird year where they did them, I think, in December and then again in February. But hopefully we won't get double hit. If I was a betting person, which y'all know I am, I do expect that this is not the end of these. But let's jump into what those are. So really at Disney World, the big thing was the annual passes. So almost 10% increase on the most expensive for the top tier pass there. And that's the IncrediPass. So now it's $1,449, which is very cringy. When I think about, we don't currently have that pass. We used to. But what I paid for it not that long ago is nowhere close to that. So that one hurt a little bit. And then the other tiers as well are all up. So the Sorcerer Pass is only for Florida residents and DVC. That's up to $999. And then both the Pirate and the Pixie are only Florida residents. And they're up $50 and $40 respectively. So that wasn't my favorite news. There were no changes, though, for the standard dated ticket. But that's when I said I wouldn't be surprised if we see that. Like, I feel like that's coming and probably a park hopper increase at Disney World. They did decide at both World and Land that parking is now $30, so up $5 there. And then I didn't catch this until I was prepping for the show, but the single day water park ticket actually went up too. So those all went up $5 each. And then the Memory Maker was the one that I thought was sneaky as well. So it's been like $169
forever, right?
And now it's $185. And then there are increases if you wait and buy it while you're there as well. But even the prepay increased. So at Disneyland, the prices of, because the tickets are date-based, if you don't have one of the key passes there, they rose anywhere from $5 to $15 depending on date. So if you're at Disneyland and you want a one-day ticket for the peak season, you are now going to pay $194 for that ticket for an adult. And what was interesting to me is usually like you see the increases go down the number of days you add, but that is not really the case here. So the two-day ticket is up $25. The three-day ticket was up $30. The four-day ticket is up $50. And then the five-day ticket was up $65. So
they took the savings away. You're not giving me good news. You're not giving me good news for 2025. Yeah.
Okay. But this is a good lesson in why you should always book when you want to go and take advantage of the best pricing. And then as things change, you can look to potentially take advantage of lower prices. So, but there at Disneyland, Park Hopper did rise. And just depending on the number of days, anywhere from $5 to $15 for the multi-day. Now, I thought the annual pass prices were bad for Disney World. And then I almost choked when I saw Disneyland. So their top tier, which is the Inspire Key, is $1,649. That's the new price on that. And that's a $50 increase. And then the two tiers under that, their prices rose $150 each. So they got really hard with some price increases. Now, what's interesting is unless you currently have one of those passes, you can't even purchase them because they're not selling them right now. So clearly this is, you know, they can do that and are choosing to do so. And maybe that will bring a little more availability. But I think people that are shelling out, you know,
they're going to continue to, I think they're going to continue to renew because
I think
unlike Walt Disney World, you know, we're going to let our APs lapse. I think that we'll still be able to buy them when we want to, you know, barring any epidemic again. But that's not the case at Disneyland, I don't think.
So that was pretty steep over there. And then their Genie Plus costs rose as well. So going from 25 to 30. So not great news if you have been putting off planning, but knew you were going to. You might pay a little more than you expected to, but this is life, and we do tend to expect it this time of year from Disney.
I've also heard that they snuck in some dining price increases as well. Like, I didn't like really dive into that. Like, I just heard chatter about it, but like I heard Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I didn't get too deep into that, but I was seeing too, like even like the cost of pretzels was up like 60 cents or something. Right, like,
of course. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just every day. So, all right.
Well, I'll hit you with some good news again that's going to make up for that altogether. There's two character meet and greets that are returning to Animal Kingdom. Doesn't that just make up for it?
Who are they? Well, I don't know who they are, so I'm actually very interested.
Early October, Pocahontas and Goofy were both brought back to Animal Kingdom. So Pocahontas, the instructions they're giving is that when you enter the park, head for the path on the right. This path will take you to the bridge near Island Mercantile and Discovery Trading Company and eventually to the Tree of Life. So when you come in, if you just head right there where Divine is hanging out lots of times at Park Open, and then you go to the Tree of Life in there, that's where she's going to be meeting, but only from Park Open until noon each day. And then Goofy is going to be, if you go to Triceratops Spin, he is going to be to the right of the ride. You're going to find him. And again, only from Park Open until noon. But they are both back and have some updated costumes and things with them and stuff. So
I wonder what Goofy's theming is going to be like. Look, I love Goofy, but I can find Goofy a lot of different places. I'm really excited about Pocahontas because we never had a chance to meet Pocahontas. Do you think they're going to take Moana away from Animal Kingdom and put Pocahontas eventually? I don't know.
Her at Epcot?
Yeah. I don't know. Possibly. I don't know if they're like prepping to see, you know, like her popularity again. So anyways, that is exciting. I mean, I won't pass up an opportunity to hug Goofy, but we've never met Pocahontas. So
what's your favorite Goofy costume?
Oh, Pete Silly Sideshow.
Okay.
Yeah. The cannibal costume Goofy.
They're showing him in the picture here.
Oh.
So I don't know whether this was on all years. So I don't know whether they just grabbed a picture.
Is that what they're showing him in?
Yeah, and it's at the Donald's Dino Bash where we were meeting Donald.
Right.
When we were there.
Yeah. And he's pretty cute in his little pirate costume too on the show.
Yeah, I like him in his pirate costume.
I like it's not a Goofy costume, but at Dino Land, the Chip and Dale with the little dino suits.
Oh my gosh. Like that. So that's why I was asking, because like if Dino Land is going away,
yeah,
like are they gonna do a custom dino outfit for Goofy, you know?
So that's just kind of a side thing that I saw when I was doing some searching today, that Walt Disney World has gotten 2 permits associated with the construction at Dinoland this week. Mm-hmm. So it looks like they are moving forward with bringing Zootopia to the Dinoland very quickly after the announcement.
Yeah.
I am excited about that. I'm a little sad because, like, I love that park so much. But I think, gosh, I can't even imagine that park with like another ride down, because people fly through it. And so I think they're going to have to do what they're doing pretty quick to get attendance to where they need it.
Yeah. I think so too. I'm going to be bummed though when Dinosaur goes away, because we love that ride. I've heard so many
great things about Indiana Jones though. And like,
Indiana Jones is my favorite ride, or one of my favorite rides in California. Yeah. So I love Dinosaur, but I'm going to be happy with Indiana Jones in Disney World as well.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well,
as long as you let me drive.
As long as you do what?
Let me drive the car.
You know what? I haven't even like looked into this ride at all. So it's a car. And you scoot around.
It's like a Range Rover, you know, like the Indiana Jones thing. And so they have a steering wheel at the driver's spot. So you can, I mean, you don't do anything, but I love just wrenching it all over the place with all pretending. Of the trains and stuff like that. I do. I love it.
You know, like the little kids' quarter machines outside of Kmart. You know what I mean?
I'm picturing Cindy in those shopping carts they have.
Oh, yeah.
The wheels on.
Cindy like around next time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of shopping carts, that kind of segues into food. The Swan and Dolphin Food and Wine Classic is coming back next month. It will be on Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th. And it's going to run both days from 5:30 to 9 p.m. This year's themed areas include the Beer Garden, For the Love of Florida, which apparently is new for this year, Carnival Corner, and Chinatown. Tickets, pretty pricey. If you include the service fees, it's $197.59 a person. But if you're planning to stay at the Swan and Dolphin and go to the event, then there's an 888 number you can call to learn about room discounts. So they'll give you a little bit of a break on the room. In case any of our listeners out there were curious, that number is actually 888-828-8850.
I feel like we're doing an infomercial.
I know. And as I'm saying it, I'm like, they really like their eights. Goodness. Call now.
Go now.
Operators are
standing by.
Oh, wait, there's more.
Yeah. We're all pretty big on the food festivals. Have any of you gone to that one?
I have not gone.
No.
But I think that'd be so much fun if you were doing an adults only trip.
I agree.
Do they have
chicken tenders? Do they have chicken tenders and french fries?
I don't know, but the tickets include unlimited food and beverage tastings. So you're not like, given like a limit.
So I can try. I could, you know.
Yes, you could try.
See what my palate likes. That's not pizza, chicken, burgers, you know.
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese. I mean, hey, y'all.
Branch out.
Right.
You might
branch
like out. Something. Branch
but
out.
If you,
branch
if you
out
think
for $197.
No.
But if you think about that, like if you go to Le Cellier and have 3 courses there and a drink, like you probably spend that right close to it.
And now you get to taste a variety of foods. Right. So y'all, I didn't fully prep this one. Like I would get into it and then I'd be like, oh my gosh, it's just way too much. So we're going to wing it a little bit. But since Jenny went into the food for the, you know, Swan and Dolphin, I'm going to go back to Animal Kingdom. They just released a whole line of New Foods that kind of premiered on October 11th. So throughout the entire park, like you have stuffed pancake sandwich with sausage, guava paste, egg, and cheese. And then you can keep the guava, like Cassandra, you know, you can keep the guava off. You know what I mean? Now, a stuffed pancake with sausage, egg, and cheese, like, yes, please. You know what I mean? Like, I would be about that. So they have a new cinnamon roll at the Pongu Pongu at Pandora, egg, bacon, croissant sandwich, tomato, pepper relish. And breakfast tachos with eggs, bacon, cheese, something about cheese curds and nacho cheese at Kusafari coffee shop and bakery. And then you go over to Harambe Market. They have new kind of rice bowls with shrimp or chicken, shrimp and chicken, you know, one or the other, you know, that has a little bit of, I didn't even write that really well. I don't know what that says. Some kind of rice, Kuchimbara, that's probably not a word. Tomato, I can't read my hand right now. Tomato salad, but tzatziki. And then you also have beef and lamb kofta pitas, impossible plant-based, that's kofta. So I'm just keeping things, you know. And then, okay, where I didn't write, and let me pull it up. And I think this is the most exciting because this is more my kind of palette is Flame Tree Barbecue and Pizzafari. So they have brought a lot of new things like the Impossible Burnt Ends, a plant-based dish featuring alternative meat and fries with slaw on the side. Like, I'd be willing to try that, you know, just to see how close to meat it actually is. French fries with pulled pork and cheese. And then over at Pizzafari, you have plant-based Italian sausage and then any pasta side salad. There is new desserts and at Harambe Market, mango passion fruit cheesecake. I love a good cheesecake. Mm-hmm. And then you have over at Tamu Tamu refreshments, new Dole Whip orange float with strawberry syrup on top. Or, of course, the original Dole Whip. So, and they have it to where you can load it with Parrot Bay coconut rum, Miss Cindy, Dole Whip hard cider float, and Ace pineapple craft cider. So, but that was kind of, I feel like that was kind of dropped on us, that news. And like that was, they made a pretty big to-do about that. So I think that they're trying to revamp, you know. Yeah. So
I was going to tell you, Cassandra, if you say it confidently, people will just assume it's a new food they've never heard of.
Right. And then they go there and people look at them like they lost their mind.
Yeah. Just go for it.
You had me at cheese curds.
Yeah.
I don't do cheese curds.
Oh, I do.
Oh, yeah. Cheese curds like,
when we get the poutine. Okay. So like the cheese curds on it's at one of the booths, right? But it's not poutine. Those are pretty good. But like you go to the poutine and you get the big cheese curds, they're too squeaky. It's something about a texture. Like if I can hear
squeaky.
I know. Apparently that's good cheese curds, right? But no, if I can hear squeak, 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 squeak. It's just the texture. You know, the things that give you the willies. Yeah. Oh.
But they're so good.
Oh. Hey, that was a summary, Bada.
Oh.
Hey, I talk really fast. Okay. All right. I'm done with that.
All right. Well, I know a lot of people have been waiting for the announcement of the candlelight processional celebrity narrator schedule, and that has recently come out. So this year we have a couple of new people. So Chrissy Metz is new this year, Luis Fonsi and Margaret, all new. Simu Liu is not new. He was there last year. John Stamos is returning if you need some Uncle Jesse in your life. Fan favorite Neil Patrick Harris will be there. Marlene Matlin, new this year as well. Brendan Fraser, and I've seen a lot of people be really excited about him.
Yes.
Yes.
Chris and I both looked at, you know, my husband and I both looked at each other and we just instantly were like, man.
Yeah.
You know, because like I would totally be down for that.
Oh, I was immediately on the DVC site looking for availability.
Right.
I have a client there that week and I just got her a package to see him. So I'm going to have her take pictures. Eva Longoria is new as well. Now, this is my Corey Feldman, Jenny. Joey McIntyre of the New Kids on the Block.
I was a Donnie girl, but he's going to be there?
He is going to be there December 17th and 18th. So, of course, it's the day I am driving like past Orlando on the 16th. So, of course, he's there on the 17th. Why wouldn't he be?
Right.
Not mad about it. Sterling K. Brown is there this year. And Jordan Fisher, which I think he's going to be hugely
I would love to see him.
I would too. Stephen
Happily Ever After. Happily Ever After.
Oh.
And he's also the lead singer of Four Town from Turning Red. You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. Now I know.
But he does something else too. Like he also did the a version of You're Welcome at the end of Moana.
Voice of an Angel.
Happily Ever After. Enough said.
I would, if I lived nearby, I would just go to like half of these, I think.
Yeah.
Stephen Curtis Chapman is returning. Audra McDonald is new, and she is probably going to be fabulous as well with all of her Broadway experience. And then the one I've actually seen is going to close it out on December 29th and 30th, and that is Lisa Ling. So good lineup, I think, this year. And they just yesterday opened dining packages for booking. And this year you can choose from the Garden Grill, Le Cellier. There is a same-day package. I think it's at Regal Eagle that you can try to get. I'm sure that's going to be crazy to get. Eckershush is an option. Spice Road Table and Coral Reef and Rose and Crown, I believe, are the rest of that list. So if you are interested in seeing any of them, especially if it's someone who's going to be super popular, highly recommend the dining package.
Yeah, for sure. We've only been once, and we saw Robbie Benson, who is the voice of the Beast. So, yeah, it was good.
I didn't know what to expect, and it is such a, like, beautiful, moving, I don't know. It's a beautiful performance.
Yeah. It is pretty crazy, though, like, people-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how early they start lining up if they don't have the dining package is crazy. Like people will be lined up hours and hours ahead just to make sure they're not having to stand or even get close. So it's a bit crazy, but I would definitely want to do it if we were there at that time. So
right.
I don't even really care who the narrator is. I'd just like to experience it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the one thing that has been talked about for years and years around Orlando area, and especially with Disney World guests since they canceled the bus. I can't remember what it was called.
Magical Express,
there you go, is the Brightline bus that was coming from Miami, and they knew there'd be stops in Orlando. One was going to be at Disney Springs, and everybody was pretty excited. And then that got canceled, and everybody kind of lost their enthusiasm for it in the Disney community. But now that it's up and running, a couple of bloggers and other news people have checked it out to see what it's like. And they said it's actually a pretty decent deal. Like if you're wanting to fly in, sometimes you can fly in cheaper to Miami significantly than you can to Orlando, especially for South American guests or European guests. And then just get the Brightline to the, because one of the stops is MCO in Orlando at the airport. And they said because a number of people are doing that, then the express buses that they have running now, the Sunshine Flyer is, and Mears Express, the combination one there, they're busier. So you're not having to wait near as long for those express buses to go. And it's turning into about 45 minutes from when you get your luggage and get in line to you'll be in your at your resort quite often. So it seems to be a good option that you might want to consider, especially if you, you know, you're cruising out of Miami or you can get a good flight into Miami. It's, you know, you get on the bus and you go straight to the Orlando airport and then make your connection there from there to whichever resort you want to go to. And that might even be easier than if you had gone from Miami to Disney Springs and then had to find transport from there to your resort. So that's kind of something I might want to look into.
Yeah, that's exciting. I would ride it.
I would. Just to say I did, right? Check it out.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And if it's increasing the number of people coming in and using the Mears shuttle or Sunshine Flyer Express out of MCO so that they're running more buses more frequently, that's a win for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
We'll have to try it.
And the money you save by getting a better deal flying into Miami, you can spend on more food.
No, more pins.
So Chef Art Smith's Homecoming in Disney Springs has announced 4 new menu items. There is a hummingbird cocktail that runs for $17. And it's a mix of banana cream rum, vanilla bean rum, muddled pineapple, blueberry, and pineapple puree with a hummingbird cake pop on top. And let me just say, I read all that because it sounds good to me.
I heard hummingbird cake pop.
Right? We could split it then. You can have the cake pop. I'll take the glass.
Yeah. don't agree so fast. I haven't made my offer yet. I would take the drink. Cassandra can have all the cake pops.
I'll have all the cake pops.
Jenny and I'll just be having the drinks.
Right.
I'll have some biscuits.
Have you guys had hummingbird cake at homecoming?
I keep wanting to get it because I've heard such great things about it, but we haven't had it.
It was good.
If you like carrot cake, I think you would like hummingbird cake.
Oh, yeah, because they have little bits of walnut and stuff in it, right?
Yep. And bananas, yep. It's a real
like spice cake. Yeah, that's right up my alley. Like
that and a nice frosting, but then they serve a huge piece. Like you could serve 4 people off of the piece of cake.
Oh yeah,
or just one for me. Yeah,
but hummingbird cake is a very popular cake. Brittany was working when she was going to university. She was putting herself through university, working at a farm store, and they made hummingbird cake there, and they would be sold out around Thanksgiving. Just
I figured it was a Southern thing.
Yeah.
I think it is, but
yeah,
you know, like whatever sells, we'll
right. Yeah. We'll I mean,
oh, am I still there?
Yeah, you're still here.
Yeah.
Okay, because my computer just died.
Oh, no, we can see you. We can see you. We can hear you.
Interesting.
Well, so if the hummingbird cocktail isn't enough to get you in the door, there are other new menu items. A strawberry field salad that'll run you $21. Apparently has a burrata cheese on top that's really melty and creamy, and a balsamic that kind of adds a little bit of sweet and acidity, along with crispy prosciutto and tomatoes. And Art's hot chicken sandwich, also $21, and baby back ribs for $34. I'm here for the cocktail because that sounds amazing.
I'm here for the cake pop, but y'all know that.
I just like food.
Yeah.
All the food.
Oh, is it my turn? Okay.
No.
So we're hopping over to one of my other favorites, Disney Cruise Line. Huge fan. Super sad. Don't have one on the books. Royal Caribbean coming up. Excited about that. Okay. So want to talk a little bit about the Disney Treasure. It was announced a few days ago that Disney, the Tale of Moana, will debut exclusively as the brand new original Broadway style production on board the Disney Treasure. So the show will follow Moana as she embarks on an incredible journey to save the island after she's chosen by the ocean to restore the heart of Te Fiti. Expect to see many beloved characters, including Grandma Tala, Maui, and Tamatoa, as well as songs from the original soundtrack. DCL casting directors will soon begin to search for performers. So really excited about that. It makes me really sad that we don't have a cruise booked on there quite yet. So, but excited about Moana. Do love Moana. Mm-hmm. No, that's it.
It's going to be good.
See, Jenny, I did half of my Animal Kingdom food.
I'm proud of you.
I have a quick one, and it is a way you can get to food that I talked about in great length on a previous show. But the boats that run from the Contemporary Resort to both the Wilderness Lodge and Fort Wilderness Campground are back running. So this is the first time since COVID that they have been running again, and they just started, I think it was like October 1st or October 3rd. But we were actually there when they started running. So we hopped on and went over to the campground and checked out all that awesome new food at Crockett's Tavern. It was just super convenient to have that option to get somewhere other than the Contemporary pretty quickly without it being the craziness that is the monorail, especially if you have a stroller. So it was definitely a nice option.
And the elevator to the monorail, right?
Yes, the single elevator for all the strollers and scooters. So
yeah.
But I'm glad the boat was back. They run every 10 to 15 minutes. But what we found out was there's two of them, and they both go to both Wilderness Lodge and Fort Wilderness. It's just the order is different. So you could really just get on either one if you don't feel like waiting on the dock anymore.
There was a ton of people on Facebook that were really excited about the return of this. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it's nice.
I'm one of them. I enjoy that boat.
All right.
What you got, Cindy?
Okay. So something that's interesting to me, maybe not so much to you guys, but as an international visitor, is that as of last week, pre-purchase matching bands when you're staying at a resort are no longer available to international visitors. So they would never mail them out of country. So they couldn't mail them due to laws to do with the technology. They couldn't be mailed if you were coming from Europe or you're coming from Canada or South America or Mexico, whatever, but you could pre-purchase them and they would be at your resort when you got there and then you just picked them up. Now they're not available at all and there's no discount coupons given to you when you get there at the resort or not. If you're an international visitor, you just have to buy the Magic Band Plus at the regular retail value.
Lame.
I know. I don't understand that. I mean, I get that it's an added step for them and something for them to coordinate and yada, yada, yada. But it's kind of another one of the special touches that are taken away.
Yeah. Well, especially when you consider that with the price increase, we're now dinging in right about $2,000 for the top tier pass, which is the only one available to us. Right. Unless we're DVC members. So when you're spending 2,000 Canadian for your annual pass and then, you know, you're staying at the resorts and, you know, they can't even give you a Magic Band at $10 off. It's a little frustrating. And then the thing, it wasn't even the $10 off. It was being able to know we were going to be going in 6 months or 8 months and picking one when it came available that you really liked.
Yeah.
And now you got to take a chance that it's going to be available when you get there, which is frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can always get one for you and I'll hold it for, and I'll ship it.
Yes.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, all right.
Does anybody have, I don't want to end on a downer.
Like okay, well, I mean, like I have like a really quick one, you guys.
Okay, good.
Okay, all right. So Behind the Attraction season 2 on Disney Plus. So season 2 of Behind the Attraction will premiere November 1st on Disney Plus. Season 2 takes a look at 6 brand new storylines from your favorite attractions, food, and nighttime spectacular. There's the word food again. So the first episode being Pirates of the Caribbean. And I think it's going to kind of hop around, honestly, from the different pirates. They did this whole summary and I just, you know, 2 is Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. 3 is Indiana Jones Adventure. 4 is Epcot as a whole. 5 is The Food. So I guess they're going to, you know, and it's supposed to be all of Disney, you know, parks. And then 6 is Nighttime Spectaculars. So I'm excited to, I enjoyed the first season and I'm excited to watch those episodes. Yeah.
Although I'm like, if they can make like 28 seasons of Sister Wives, surely they could give me more than one episode about Epcot and more than one episode about food. Like, come on.
I agree.
Yeah. And when I read Nighttime Spectaculars, I figured they were going to go in depth. I mean, they could, there's, you know, but more so food, right? And Epcot. Yeah, you could probably dedicate. Golly. Oh my
God. I would watch a whole show that every week they tell me about food. Like that would just,
yeah,
I would show up for that. But
yeah.
I mean, if you've listened to us talk for more than 5 minutes, you probably have figured that out.
We like food.
We like food.
Yeah. So,
well, thank you for all that.
Yeah. That was good.
Yes. Thank you, ladies. It was nice to spend the evening with you. Just want to do a quick shout out to the sponsor of the WDW Review, who is also part of sponsoring the Dubs Royal Court Review news show that we do. And that is DVC-Rentals and DVC Resale.
And buy and sell. Yep. So buy and sell
buy
DVC.
And sell. Yeah.
So that's me. So I can, you guys have any questions, you can always contact me over in Epcot, Cassandra Callahan, work with the wonderful owners, Scott and Shannon Ferrioli. We have some great co-workers as well, but we can.
And if you want to talk to people that have used their service, there's lots of people at Epcot and I myself have rented DVC points through them and it was an amazing experience. So we appreciate that. So we will just say bippity boppity boo from all of us at the Royal Court Review to you. We wish you magic and pixie dust until we see you again.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.